Hello, friends and family and listeners, and welcome to another episode of Riesling and Raven. Today's episode, review of Drag Race Episode 5, RuPaul's Drag Race Season 13, Episode 5. And this one was jam-packed with a lot of shit. So, starting off, last episode, we saw Simone win from the acting challenge and the cape or the train runway with her very long do-rag train. And we saw Denali and Kimora lip sync against each other and Kimora leave. And Denali basically labeled a massive lip sync assassin right off the bat. So, okay. And so this episode starts. And honestly, when I started watching this episode, I was starting to take my notes down and I was like, okay, episode 6. And I'm like, wait, no, we're only on episode 5. Because so much has happened. I'm like thinking we're a lot further ahead than we are, but like we've only seen one queen go and so much has already happened. Jesus. Okay, so episode begins and we see the queens coming back after Kimora's elimination. And Candy, right off the bat, starts going off about how if she didn't wear the same outfit, she would have won the competition. And she sees Simone as her biggest competition and her only competition. And then Tamisha chimes in and is like, excuse me, girl. There's a whole cast left in this gig, so she's not your only competition, bitch, so back the fuck up. And originally, Candy, like, didn't think Denali would have been in the bottom, or, like, Candy thought Elliot was gonna be in the bottom, and right away was like, nah, Elliot should have been in the bottom. Blah. And, like, even though Candy didn't win, Candy was quite confident that she should have won. And thank you, Tamisha, because Tamisha knocked her down a few pegs and tried to get her in check and all that. So thank you, Tamisha. And also, just a like observation that I made when they were out of drag or getting out of drag and whatnot, and I saw Tamisha talking with Utica, and I think it was Denali or Elliot that was with them, and Tamisha was like, there's a difference between confidence and cockiness. And I'm looking at I'm listening to what she says, but I'm just so distracted by how fucking tall Utica is. Like, I'm looking at the three of them and I'm like, holy shit, Utica's fucking tall. That's a man I like. So moving on, so mini challenge of the day, Rue comes in and announces the mini challenge is a baby challenge, and so they all had to get dressed up in like babies and infants, and I don't know what. It was kind of like the old lady challenge from like season 7, I think. Yeah, because all I remember is Jasmine Masters dressing as an old lady and Rue being like, where'd you get a loaf of bread? Because that's the only thing I remember. But like, it's, so I guess it's like the antithesis of that, whereas instead of being really, really, really old ladies, they're now babies. And I was just like, this is so weird and uncomfortable. Like, what? Because it's so weird, because baby kink is an actual thing where people wear diapers and completely act like fresh newborns or like toddlers that can just barely speak, and they actually wear diapers and they actually like shit themselves and piss in the diapers, and it's unique is the way is what I'm gonna say it's unique. It's, I don't know how common the baby kink thing is, but it's common enough that it's a thread on Reddit, I would imagine. But yeah, so I'm slightly confused by this, but in the end, LaLaurie won with her once the music started, she just started twerking her ass off and, like, lost it. And so she won a gift card to fiercequeens.com, I think it was. Yeah. And so moving on to the maxi challenge, my favorite challenge of the entire series, the ball challenge. And this ball concept is the bag ball, where they have to take bags of all kinds and make an outfit from them. Grocery bags, paper bags, gift bags, sleeping bags, purses, clutches, totes, all kinds of stuff, and make them into an outfit. And their three looks are, the first one is a mixed bag of puns, and it's basically an outfit inspired by a word that has the word bag in it. And then the second look is money bags. So like almost every season, they have to have their executive super rich bitch realness look, executive rich bitch. And then the third is the bag couture outfit made from items that are bags. And Simone chimes in being like, a bitch don't sew, so I'm stressing. And I'm like, Simone, how many times do we have to go over this? Sew. Learn to sew. At least the basics. At least learn how to thread a sewing machine, please, people. Please, if you're gonna go on Drag Race, at least learn how to thread a sewing machine. You can figure out the rest by playing with a sewing machine. But if you can at least learn how to thread a sewing machine, you're fine. You're fine. As long as you can sew two pieces of fabric together, you're fine. Just make sure you learn how to use a sewing machine. And that pops up later on. They're doing their stuff, and I think Elliot and Rosé are chatting away, and they're talking about, like, hey, who do you think is going to struggle in this? And Rosé mentioned something called the bald-headed brigade, and I lost it. I was like, oh my god, Candy, Lalaurie. I was like, oh my god, fuck. Oh my god. And then Utica willingly, like, was watching Lalaurie struggling. She got up and went over to Lalaurie and said, hey, do you know how to do this? And Lalaurie's like, oh, fuck no. And Utica's like, oh, well, here, let me help you. Oh, you don't even know how to thread the needle? Well, it has an automatic threader in it, so here. And Utica straight up, just like, from pure observation, seeing that Lalaurie was struggling, Utica just right up offered help, and I'm just like, maybe this is RuPaul's best friend race. I love Utica so fucking much, and she better win Miss Congeniality. Oh my god, if Utica does not freaking win Miss Congeniality, I'm gonna riot. Not, yeah, y'all know about riots, so like, yeah. But, like, I just love Utica so much. She is so adorable. She is so cute. She is hilarious. She's so tall. Like, fuck. I just love Utica. So, Tamisha and Lalaurie finally explain to everybody what the storyline is. Because, again, we've heard multiple times Lalaurie was Tamisha's daughter. And we heard about it. So, we were like, oh, okay. And literally, we're on episode 5 and we're only just now hearing it. Now we're only now just talking about the family stuff. So I was like, oh, okay, finally. But apparently, the tea is Lalaurie is not from the House of Amon. Straight up, Lalaurie is not a member of the House of Amon. What it was is Tamisha put Lalaurie in drag for the first time. But Tamisha didn't adopt her. Tamisha just put her in face for the first time. And she was only an Amon for one day. She isn't an official Amon. So she is technically Lalaurie's mom, but like I guess Lollary, or I guess Tamisha didn't, I guess Tamisha didn't adopt her into the House of Amon, because all of the House of Amon are massive big dancers, and I guess Lollary's not a dancer? I don't know, but apparently, yeah, no. Lollary is not an official member of the House of Amon, and Tamisha only put her in drag for that one day, and just did her face the once. But that was it. So I was like, oh, okay. That makes sense as to why we didn't really talk about it that much. Lollary is barely Tamisha's daughter. So, yeah, I get it. And then, so we move over to Lollary at her table, working on her outfit, and she's got a bunch of these mini paper bag gift bags, and she's gluing them onto a corset, and I'm already looking, and I'm like, oh god, she's gluing things to a corset. Fuck. Oh my god, no, she's not just gluing shit to a corset. No! No! Bitch! And the gagger, she runs out of bags and she barely covered the corset. Bitch! And she didn't cut the bags at all to open them up, to spread them out, to get more coverage. She just glued the bags on. She just hot glued the bag on, slap it onto the corset. I'm just like, girl, cut the bags open. What are you doing? Cut the bags open. Get some texture on this bitch. Spread them out. Cover some more room. What are you doing? And as, oh, it was so painful to watch. Fuck. Oh, anyways, so Tamisha asks the girls, hey, do you, any of you know about the ball scene and where balls came from and all of that stuff from like the New York ballroom scene? And they're like, no. And so Tamisha's like, we having a mini ball right now. So she goes, category is, and this is when my fucking TV decided to like glitch out on me, and so I missed it. But then when I caught back up, I saw Joey kind of doing very stereotypical ballroom-esque voguing. And then she almost goes into a dip, but then she doesn't. And Tamisha's like, what are you doing? Joey's like, I got a bad knee. And I'm like, me! Me! Why didn't you do that? I have a bad knee. Why didn't you death drop all the way? Because the last time I did it, I fucking bashed my head on the floor. PTSD. But, yeah. She's like, I have a bad knee. And I'm like, I have a bad knee. My left one since high school. Fuck. Anyways, so Rue comes in and we start to do our one-on-ones, or in this case, we do our COVID versions of one-on-ones, and it's two queens at one end of the work table, and then RuPaul at the complete opposite corner talking to the girls, and it's two-on-ones now. So for the first two-on-one, we got Simone and Candy, and the only thing that I wrote down from that two-on-one was Rue asked Candy something, and Candy was just like, I love it. And Rue laughs, and Candy's response was like, I don't know what she said, but she started laughing, so I just went with it. And I'm just like, fuck. Me. I don't know what that question, or I don't know what you just asked, but I love it. What? Fuck. And then after Candy and Simone, we got Utica and Gottmik. And Utica described her aesthetic as campier than Carol Burnett, scarier than Tim Burton, and something else. But immediately when she mentioned it, I'm like, her aesthetic is my life. Like, yes, can we just please get married already? Please? Fuck. And then after Utica and Gottmik, picked up a piece of the outfit she was constructing, and it was basically a tiny triangle of fabric. And she's like, it'll be intricately placed, it'll be kind of like a corset and stuff. And it's like, it's barely going to cover anything, girl. And then Utica's like, I have this giant sleeping bag, and it's going to be a massive coat, but very fitted and covering my entire body. And then Gottmik's like, I have a tiny triangle. And I was just living for the contrast. It was so funny. And then after Utica and Gottmik, I have Joey and Lala Ree. And they made a comment, or Roommate asked about, are we going to see another scrunched boot? And Joey's like, oh, what scrunched boot? And in the diary things, Joey's like, you mean this scrunched boot? Here, let me play the scrunched boot for you. I don't know why I wrote that down, but like, Joey plays a scrunched boot in her diary, and I thought that was important information to let you all know. Just so you know, Joey plays the boot accordion. Just so we're all aware. She is a multi-talented girl. Oh my gosh. And then my TV decided to fucking cut out again, but I caught the creative director from Coach giving the girls a mini extra challenge for this, is to design a Coach tote purse thing. And I guess Coach released a, like, not a line, but like the Coach creative director released a bag that you can purchase that you can style yourself and sort of add bits and bobs and sort of design yourself. So the base is the same, but then it has a whole bunch of like I think you can get it multiple colors. You can get different accessories and details and little stud things you can put on it, and basically just like create a custom Coach purse from a specific style of bag that they released, I guess. That was all I caught, though. So they had to design a Coach bag to go with their second outfit, money bags, the money executive realness thing. And so right when they're getting ready, putting their face on, we see Candy kind of peeking over Joey's stuff and looking at it, and Candy loves Joey, but Candy is questioning Joey's taste level. So Candy's looking at it, and she calls Joey over, and she's like, girl, is this yours? And Joey's like, yeah, it's a lot of pieces. Once it's all put together and I do the final trims and whatnot, it'll be good. And then Candy's just like, no. And I'm just like, oh god. So once again, Candy questioning Joey's taste level and coming for other coins. And then after that, they're still putting their face on, and they start discussing, I think it was Lala Ree that prompted the question, hey, how do y'all feel and think about the Black Lives Matter protest and everything? And they basically explain everything, and people chimed in on their experiences with joining the protests and stuff, and Lala Ree kind of breaks down that it's extremely fucking unfortunate and unfair that she, just being a Black person, can be shot just for being Black. And they also add that the Black trans lives are the most at risk because, one, you're already Black, you're already at risk just for your skin color. Two, you're trans, and in the LGBT community, the trans are extremely at risk, if not the most at risk. Like, obviously. Because, like, they obviously don't, sometimes they don't look or conform to gender conformity and what people expect a gender to look like, so they're always picked up from the crowd and they're extremely stigmatized against. And then you have a Black and trans person, you have a double whammy, and they explain that. And just putting my experience in here, I joined the Black Lives Matter protest here in St. Catharines, and I made a poster that was double-sided that said, Black LGBTQ Trans Lives Matter. And on the other side, I wrote, Pride started from a Black trans woman, Marsha P. Johnson. And so as much as it was a Black Lives Matter protest, I was specifically advocating for the Black trans lives. So I'm really, really happy that they took a moment to explain it, discuss their all individual like experiences and their all like two cents on what they did and everything. I think Candy mentioned that she was in the protests in New York when they were happening. And yeah, it just really hit when Lollary was in the diary room breaking down about the reality that she could get shot just for being a different skin color. And it just sort of, again, it just sheds light on the reality that being light-skinned in and itself is a... privilege. It is. Being light-skinned in itself and just being born that is a privilege. Like, my mother is a person of color, but my dad is white. So I'm mixed, but I am a white-skinned person because I am perceived more like... I look more like my dad, color-wise. I have blonde hair and I have light skin, but I have a wide nose and I have fuller lips like my mom. And when my mom was growing up, she was stigmatized for being a person of color, and she had a slew of racist things against her growing up in herself. And it sort of like sheds a light that my skin itself gives me more privilege than my mother had at my age. So it sheds some light on the circumstances. Like, I'm actually, now that I think about it, I'm at the age when my mother gave birth to me, which is very weird to think about. But yeah, like, the reality is I had a better, more privileged life than my mother simply because of my skin tone. And I think people just need to learn to, like, be more aware and be more conscious of their privilege and everything simply for their skin tone. And I think that's something a lot of people take for advantage. And until you see firsthand what it is people of color or like trans people experience, until you see that firsthand, I don't think you'll ever be able, well, I mean, even not being a trans or a cut person of color, not being, you will never be able to understand their experience. And I think that's something that we have to learn to accept, but also know that in doing that, we also have to be able to, we have to be able to say, I accept you and I support you. And I'm never going to be able to understand, or no, I'm never going to be able to know what the experience feels like, but you can at least educate me on how to, on understanding it. And I think people just need to know that it pays to just be open-minded and be willing to hear everybody out and to hear the experiences and to acknowledge your own privilege. But yeah, anyways, fuck. That got deep. But it's a topic that needs to be discussed more often. So, yeah. So, We're going to have a quick message from our sponsor and then get to the runway. Hello, hello, hello. Just wanted to give a quick shout out to my first Patreon patron, Robin Fisher. Thank you so much for signing up. It means the world, especially from the amount of times that I like come into your work and like look for you specifically just to like gab. It means so much. So thank you so much. And if you guys want to join the exclusive Patreon family, you can find me at patreon.com/ravenessclaw. That is patreon.com/ravenessclaw. So let's get back to the podcast. You're a winner. You're a winner, baby. I'm a winner. I'm a winner, baby. Alrighty, we are on the runway main stage of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 13. And the category is the ball, the bag ball. Three looks. We have how many queens? 12 queens. Three looks each. We have 36 looks to get through. So we're going to try and filter through this rapid fire, quick opinions on each outfit, and get through this. So, starting with the first category, the pun outfit concept, the mixed bag puns look. So each outfit should be inspired by a word that has the word bag in it. And the first look we have is Denali doing a take on airbag, like for Cars, and she's dressing as a crash test dummy. I don't really equate I don't really equate crash test dummies with airbags. I mean, obviously, yes, crash test dummies are used to test airbags for car systems and all of that stuff. But airbag and crash test, I don't know. I just feel like it was a bit of a stretch or not. I don't know. I didn't really enjoy it. I love the construction. I love the silhouette. I just didn't like the execution of the concept. Second, we have Elliot with gift bag. It was cute. It was a blue cocktail dress with a little handle at the nipples, and then she had a clutch that said that was the like name tag to RuPaul. It was cute. It was right. Joey did IV bag, which there was some mix up with Carson, and he's like, is it poison ivy or is it an IV bag? And Joey was like, just IV. So is it IV or is it ivy? And Joey's like, it's just IV. So I was like, it's a poison ivy bag. Just say yes. Just say yes and move on. Fuck. But I thought it was meh. I guess she did try to execute the pun of ivy, as in the letters and not the plant. But she put the plant ivy on her. But I don't think she grasped that, or maybe that was the intent. I don't know. It was just so confusing when they had the discussion about it. I don't know. It was a meh for me. And after her, we have Lala Ree as a bag of bones. And she wore this. She wore a bag at her feet, kind of like a mermaid skirt would be. And then she wore all black with bones on it. And the bottom of the outfit, the bag part, kind of looked like a scrotum to me. It straight up looked like balls. It straight up just looked like balls. I swear to God. It almost kind of reminded me of a really, really, really wrinkly scrotum from like a dick costume that you would buy as a gag costume from like a Halloween store. It almost, I fucking swear, that shit looked like an old wrinkless scrotum. I'm not lying. I swear to God. It was so bad. But it was a meh for me. And then moving on, we have Tamisha. dressing as that old bag or that old windbag, as in the old lady. And I thought it was a great concept. I thought that was funny. I giggled. It was funny. And then Simone, I wrote a big yes beside, because Simone dressed like she had a big old set of fun bags, and I thought that was hilarious. She had these giant fucking titties in this pink sequin dress with a feather trim at the bottom. Simplest fucking dress ever. No fucking, like, complicatedness with this dress construction ever. Simplest thing ever. But the tits were gigantic and were the purpose, which was amazing. It was hilarious. And then the bitch popped them at the end of the runway and I lost it. It was my favorite. I fucking loved it. After Simone, we had Olivia, who was dressed as a boxer, I guess, and doing the whole punching bag thing. See, again, that ties in with the crash test dummy. It's like, yes, a crash test dummy is equated to an airbag as much as a boxer is equated to a punching bag. And it almost looked like she wore the same wig that Simone wore for the LeMay runway. So I think she asked to borrow that and then wear it. But it's like, we already had a boxer. We literally got this outfit like 2 weeks ago or last week or something. So it was like kind of upsetting. I was like not really into it. And then after Olivia, we have Gottmik in a body bag, and she wore a skin nude suit with a slit up the center that fanned open and showed her insides, and she had some of her intestines hanging out, and she had a clear, like a clear body bag dragging behind her. I thought that was cute. And then after Gottmik, we have Rosé embracing her Scottish heritage, with the piping going down her shoulders, the big sleeves. She had the tartan, and once again, I hate doing this, but like, it was very Morgan McMichaels when she did she embraced her heritage and whatnot, but it was done in a Rosé way, which I like. After Rosé, we have Tina in a brown paper bag with that you would usually get a bottle of liquor in from the liquor store. And so she had a simple brown, I think it was a strapless sweetheart neckline fitted dress. And then the skirting at the bottom was a mermaid skirt with alcohol bottles attached to it. And then she just stumbled like drunkenly. So it was funny. It was Tina. And then after Tina, we have Candy, with her play on a bag of tricks and dressed kind of like a magician, but it was kind of half-assed. And she did a bunch of magic tricks where she pulled stuff out of a bag, but then she turned the bag into a cape, and I thought that was fun. But I put a nod beside the rest of it because the outfit was just meh. I was like, yeah, a magician uses a bag. A boxer uses a punching bag. A crash test dummy tests airbags. Yeah, it was cute. And then we have Utica doing a play on doggy bag. And see, when I hear doggy bag, I automatically go to Leftovers and, hey, can I get a doggy bag to go? Like going from the restaurant. I don't even think people use that term anymore, but I still remember doggy bag as a term used to bring leftovers home from a restaurant. But she went full on poodle and dressed like a puppy. And I guess at one end of the runway, she got on one knee, lifted the other leg, and kind of shat out the purse. And I was like, oh God, she just shat the purse on the runway. Oof, okay. So that was the first runway. So Utica's was like, it was a good concept. I did like it. It was a take on something that went in another direction than what it's typically used for. So, second runway, we have Rich Bitch Money Bags Realness. So all of these girls are big business ladies. So I'm going to try and go quicker through these. So first up, we have Denali, who's giving me 100% Cruella De Vil vibes. And I am like, fuck yes. She is the owner of the House of De Vil. Please fire someone now. So that is 100% a yes for me. And then Joey came out in a kind of Annie Lennox lesbian realness look, rocking Joey's natural signature hair, but it matched with the outfit this time and looked really good with it. But it was just a blazer and leggings, so it was a bit of a meh. Lala Ri's outfit was cute. It was the fitted skirt with the massive peplum jacket. The fabric choice was stunning. I love that fabric. But she was rocking a bald head, which was cool because strong businesswoman can rock a bald head. So I did like that. Elliot's was meh. It was like a way overly exaggerated padded shoulder, almost to the point where I was getting more like linebacker football player shoulder than I was getting a woman dainty blazer with larger shoulder pads. So I mean, maybe it was too big for her on her body. After her, we got Tamisha. It was meh. It was classic, but it was like, yeah, that's a businesswoman, sure. Maybe not the CEO, but maybe like a senior executive, maybe? But yeah. And then after Tamisha, we had Simone, who once again, in my books, got a huge yes. And I'll tell you why. So Simone came out in a big, shiny pink suit with a big ass popped collar and slits in the front of the pant legs that revealed the knee. Now, when I was doing the costume design for Legally Blonde, I literally designed a suit for our Elle Woods for her finale outfit. And I designed a pink suit out of a shiny satin fabric that looked almost exactly like what Simone wore. And I gagged because I'm like, bitch, I designed it. Well, I didn't design it, but like, other than the holes in the front of the pants and the oversized collar, it looked exactly like how I wanted the suit to look for Legally Blonde. Now, granted, when we did do Legally Blonde and we did the suit, we were running out of time and we couldn't get the fucking outfit finished in time. And when we did the test fit, the director wasn't feeling it and we were like, fuck. So we ended up putting her in a skirt and a pink leather jacket instead. But I still wish I could have gotten her in that pink satin suit. Oh, that would have been stunning on her. But yeah, I lived for Simone's outfit. After her, we have Olivia, and she's in a cape blazer skirt suit, which is fantastic. I always love designing businessy outfits with a blazer, but having more fun with the sleeves. Like, instead of doing standard sleeves, I'll do a very, very long sleeve with a slit that goes all the way up until the elbow, or I'll do the sleeves open at the back so it creates a cape like what Olivia did. So I loved Olivia's look. After Olivia, we had Gottmik, and I fangirled because of the pinstriping details, the trim that she had on the outside seams, the hair was stunning, everything was stunning on like this outfit for Gottmik. It was everything. And then after Gottmik, we have Rosé in an 80s Bette Midler inspired big business outfit with a polka dot tiny waist and pencil skirt. So that was cute. Love nods to famous icons. Love you, Bette Midler. After Rosé, we have Tina Burner. What'd I say? Oh my god, yeah! Because I wrote Tina Burner, mine, yes, fuck, OMG. Yeah, because it was a houndstooth with the big circle disc with the peplum jacket and the skirt. I was like, mine! I wanted it so fucking bad. Y'all have no idea how much I want that outfit. Oh, I just love Houndstooth. I don't know what it is. There's something about Houndstooth that just makes me go, ah! I love it. Oh, Tina Burners was so out. I'm like, I love Houndstooth. Fuck. Ugh. And then after Tina, we had Candy. Meh, whatever. Nah, not into it. And then after Candy, we have Utica and a Velma Kelly meets Carol Burnett. She does a lot of Carol Burnett, I've kind of realized. She does a bit of Carol Burnett often. But it was like a 20s Velma Kelly, Thoroughly Modern Millie, 20s to 30s esque outfit, and it was cute. It was vibey. It was cute. Okay, finally, third runway. The ones that they constructed. I'm gonna try and get through this faster. I don't know. I'm just saying it for no reason at this point. Okay, so first up, Denali. I wrote, it's cute. Joey, a lot of bows. It was just, yeah, kind of congested for me and whatnot. And Michelle makes a nod to Joey saying, you don't sew, do? And she's like, nope. And she's like, we can tell. Hot glue girl. Yeah. After Joey, we have Lala Ree. And I said, oh, no. Because once again, it's a corset with bags hot glued on it and a panty. That's what we got. Oh, God, no. So already, you can already see. It's just like, yeah, you're in the bottom. I'm sorry. So who are you going to lip sync against? And then after Lala Ree, we had Elliot, and I liked the construction on a lot on the oversized jacket. I thought that was very well done. After Elliot, we have Tamisha, and with Tamisha's, I wrote expected, because it's something that, like, kind of looks like what she already wears, and I'm just like, I'm not wowed by it. It's just kind of expected. After Tamisha, we have Simone, and I was so disappointed in Simone's outfit compared to her first two, which means she didn't make the first two. And that's why I love this challenge the most, because this is where you can see what queens will make more of their outfits and what queens buy more of their outfits. And this is the challenge where it shows. So Simone's outfit that she made, I was thoroughly disappointed. After Simone, we have Olivia saying that she was in a holographic, like, reflective outfit. And honestly, I didn't write any other notes for Olivia besides, that is not holographic, that is duochrome, gold to whatever, I don't remember what the colors were, but it's duochrome because it's not reflecting a rainbow spectrum. Holographic means reflecting a rainbow spectrum. Duochrome is a shift from one color to another. Holographic and duochrome are not the same. Learn it. Christine from Simply No Logical will back me up on this. Anyways, after Olivia, we have Gottmik. And with Gottmik's, I was like, actually not that. I wasn't wowed by Gottmik's. Like, she says she can sew, and it did look like it was sewn. Like, it didn't look like it was hot glued together. It looked like it was constructed and it would hold itself together. But I kind of expected more. And I was hoping that, like, with the skill and talent that she puts into her makeup, would translate into creating a garment. And I was just, I kind of expected more, unfortunately. After Gottmik, we have Rosé. And I thought it was cute and futuristic. I like that she cut the purses in half to actually fall flat onto her body, as opposed to just being big balls on her outfit. The flatness actually helped them hug her figure more and kind of look more like it was a piece of the garment rather than just being thrown on there and they're just big balls hanging on her. So I thought that was cute, and I liked the hair, and it was a cute futuristic kind of vibe. After Rosé, we have Tina, and I just wrote good construction. I just liked the sort of final clean constructiveness of it. After Tina, we have Candy, and I just went, no. Now that I'm trying to think about it, I kind of can't. Oh, wait, what did Candy wear? Oh, yeah, no, that was not. It was, yeah, no, it was just a no. And then Utica, it was the sleeping bag, but it was giving me straight up couture. I have seen that kind of shape and figure. Oh, yeah, Alexander McQueen. So when she was at the table doing her one-on-one with Rue, she was like a little bit of Caribou Net, a little scarier than Tim Burton, and a sprinkling of Alexander McQueen. And that's what translated into this outfit, because this outfit, the shape and the cowl neck and everything was very Alexander McQueen. That's what it was. And that's what I loved about it, because it was constructed. And then the one guest judge, I can't remember her name. It's what's her face from Nailed It. She even mentioned, like, wow, this queen over here took all of these sleeping bags and made that. And LaLaurie did that. And I was like, iconic. In the time that it took LaLaurie to glue some paper bags to an outfit, to a corset, fucking Utica created an entire Alexander McQueen garment with a goddamn sleeping bag. Oh, I love Utica. Fuck. Okay, that is all of the fucking runway looks. Fucking 36 looks. Goddamn. Okay, so going down the list, the safe queens are Denali, Elliot, Simone, Olivia, Tina, and Candy. And the tops and bottoms are Utica, LaLaurie, Gottmik, Tamisha, Rosé, and Joey J. So, quickly going through the notes and whatnot they did for the queens. With Joey, Michelle was like, hey, I saw that you used your natural hair, but I also like that you wore other wigs. I liked it. And then they had the whole conversation about, was it an IV bag or was it an Ivy bag? So, yeah, that happened. After Joey, they go to LaLaurie, and they're like, they like the cute cheetah print in the second outfit, but it's bags hot glued to a corset. That is unforgivable. That is the biggest sin you could commit on Drag Race, is hot gluing shit to a corset. And then after LaLaurie, we have Tamisha, and they were like, second outfit was meh. And even Michelle was like, your makeup is iffy, and I would like you to blend more. And Tamisha kind of looked kind of taken aback, like, excuse me, you're critiquing my makeup? And I was like, maybe, could use a bit more blending, I don't know. But like, my makeup, I blend to high hell. My eyeshadow always takes the longest because I always want it to look blended to high hell. And then after Tamisha, they went to Gottmik, and they loved all three looks, and her money bag look was iconic. Especially with, like, the stoned pinstriping suit and everything. Iconic. After Gottmik was Rosé, and she had a fantastic third look, the silver and everything, but the second wasn't as great, because it was more like a tribute or a kind of camp outfit than it was drag, I guess. I don't know what she meant by that. And then over to Utica, a killer third look. Fucking loved it. But then they were thinking she was maybe overtly too campy for her first two looks, that the campiness kind of outshined the third, because the third was just all of a sudden like the garment and toned down energy wise and it was just an opulent garment and was barely camp, whereas the first two were fully camp, which I don't really think is a bad thing. Like, if you can go from massive camp to like model, I think good on ya. So at this point, my predictions were LaLaurie and Tamisha in the bottom do a mother-daughter lip sync. I feel like that would have been the moment to do a mother-daughter lip sync. And the tops were Utica or Gottmik. And so the girls come back. The winner is Gottmik. And Gottmik wins a $5,000 tip. Utica is safe and praised for her outfit. And then Rosé was praised and is safe. And then that leaves us with Joey, LaLaurie, and Tamisha. And Tamisha Iman is safe. And that means we have our lip sync against LaLaurie and Joey. And even Joey in the one-on-one diaries were like, LaLaurie is going to let me have it. And I'm like, oh no. No, not the trade of the season. Well, like one of the trades. Not one of the trades. No. No. So they lip sync to Fancy by Iggy Azalea. And I'm like, oh fuck, LaLaurie's gonna sweep up the floor. Even though, okay, so going through the lip sync, LaLaurie is killing it and is letting Joey have it. Joey actually has bills hidden on him and he tosses them up in the air. And I'm like, that's everything. But then LaLaurie just starts picking them up and stuffing them. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of funny. Okay, that's actually kind of good. That's funny. And LaLaurie's outfit was completely falling apart. Completely. And I'm like, oh, they have to falter a bit. Like, come on. You made an outfit that can't be withstood. You can't, that isn't withstanding. Like, she could have hot glued shit to a corset, but she could have at least hot glued them well to the corset so they didn't fall off, but she didn't. And I feel like that should have gone for something. Like, your outfit's falling apart during a lip sync. Not today, Satan. Not today. And then LaLaurie wins. And the trade, Joey J, is eliminated. Oh. So Joey J is eliminated. Boo. So, preview for next episode, we are getting a dancing documentary on disco. And they're gonna be choreographed and stuff. They got giant they got a lot of fabric. And tension rises between Candy Muse and Tamisha Iman Diamond. Wait, is it Tamisha Iman Diamond or is it just Tamisha Iman? I don't remember. But yeah, so I'm excited to see the drama between Candy and Tamisha. Cause once again, Candy didn't win and Candy wasn't in the top. Although she wasn't in the bottom either, which I was kind of hoping for. But that's just my opinion. But after all, it is my podcast. So, thank you all for joining me. That was my review on episode 5, not 6, of season 13 of RuPaul's Drag Race, America. And I recently saw a post that was talking about the Canada's Drag Race auditions, and apparently the deadline for Canada's Drag Race auditions is February 8th. I thought people had until the end of February to audition, but I guess I don't know why they, I guess maybe they got more audition applications than they were expecting, so that's why they're cutting them off early. I don't know. I thought that we had until the end of February to submit audition videos, and then if we don't hear back until the beginning of March for round 2 about that stuff, but I guess we're gonna have like almost a full month. We're gonna have like 20 days of waiting to hear back, so I guess that's a thing. But yeah, I hope one of my sisters gets on. I really hope one of my sisters gets on, because I want to see my sisters. I want to see more of my sisters on there. I mean, I already consider Scarlett my sister from Toronto. Bella, not so much. Priyanka, no. Juice Box, I wouldn't. Tanomi, no. Definitely not kind. But yeah, I just want to see. I want to see one of my sisters on there. Be cool if my drag mother did. That'd be funny. But yeah, so thank you so much all for joining. Thank you for listening. Wherever you are, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Wherever you are, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, so it is more than appropriate to pour yourself another glass of Riesling. Have a good night, or morning, or afternoon, whatever. Yeah, you get it. Okay, bye.